2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The noon hour is here.
Check it out.
And you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station.
It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Let's not waste any time, shall we? Let's get to it. Joining us now, a member of the Sweet 16 at University of Utah women's basketball team, Alyssa Peely, kind enough to join us. Alyssa, congratulations on making it to the Sweet 16. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I'm just excited to start playing already.
And it's great to have you on, Alyssa, and I had an opportunity to watch the first full basketball game that you played through against Princeton the other night, and my goodness, you've got an amazing skill at this game. When did you start to realize that this was going to be your game?
I think once I got to middle school, so 7th, 8th grade, is when I started being on travel teams and going out of state to kind of get that exposure, and I think that's kind of when I realized that I wanted to play basketball at the next level.
Because they kicked you out of football. They wouldn't let you play football anymore, right?
No, I chose to stop.
You made that decision, huh?
Yeah, my dad wasn't too happy about it, but...
So your dad wanted you to keep playing football then, huh?
Yeah, he wanted me to play throughout high school because he thinks that I would have still did well, but I ended up playing volleyball, and yeah, I ended up stopping playing football by 8th grade.
Well, let's talk about this season. What is making this season so special outside of what you've been able to accomplish, because your numbers and your accomplishments speak for themselves, but what is it that's made this season so special?
I think, well, obviously, Utah having a good season last season, and kind of building off of that momentum and just keeping that culture. I think culture is a big part of our success and just why we're doing so well. You know, it helps when a team is truly like a team off the court as well as on the court, and that chemistry is just, the chemistry with this team is just, it's the best I've ever been a part of. So I think that's really what just makes it so successful and like so different from a lot of other teams.
Did you notice that right away? And was that one of the reasons why you decided to finish your career at the University of Utah?
I've been in the pack for a while now, and you know, I've watched Utah over the years, and you know, they've always just been such a disciplined team and played so hard for their coach. And you know, how a team plays is really a reflection of the head coach. And I think just seeing that over the years and seeing how well everybody got along and just how on top of things everybody is, I think it was just the right place for me to be in.
So it was fun kind of going back and just researching where you came from and who you are, because obviously you're making us all pay attention to what you're doing right now. It's really impressive. But you're the Alaska Gatorade Player of the Year out of Diamond High I know that you also set the state scoring record for Alaska, 2,614 points. What was it like playing high school ball in Alaska?
It was really fun. I had a lot of relationships built through that. And, you know, even like my biggest supporters to today, they're just people who were part of my life during that time. So, it was fun. You know, maybe not the best competition at all times, but growing up over there, there was some really talented players that came out of there. So it was just always fun. It's a small community, so everybody kind of knows everybody, and it's just such a fun place to play sports, and because it's just so supported there.
So you look back at that game against Princeton, and they were being uber physical with you, and trying to probably get under your skin a little bit. How difficult is that to keep your mentality and keep your composure when you know that, you know, frankly, you're getting hacked a lot when you try to get to the rim?
You know, it's something I've dealt with since high school, really. So it's just something that, you know, I know is out of my control. So I just try to keep my composure and play my game, because, you know, it does me no good just dwelling on, you know, things that I can't control. So that's just kind of what I keep in mind.
So listen, when you were making the decision to leave USC, what was it that kind of tipped you over the edge? Why did you decide to leave USC and transfer?
I just think it wasn't the right environment for me, and it just wasn't the right fit. And I just needed to kind of step out of my comfort zone and make some changes that would benefit me and my performance and just my well-being overall.
You know, there's a lot of schools out there that get to the tournament, and that's the goal, get to the tournament. But all along, it seems like, in hearing from you and Coach Roberts, that it wasn't about getting to the tournament this year. It was about making a long, long run once you get into the tournament. Now that you've got two games under your belt, where's the mindset of this team right now?
Just to be fearless when we play. You know, we talked about it before practice yesterday, just going out there, not really caring who's on the other side of the court, and just going out there and playing our game, because we're a really hard team to stop when we're really clicking and playing together. So, you know, we've made history all year long, and it's just been such an honor, and it's been humbling. But I think this is probably just something that we set out from the beginning of the season that we wanted to accomplish. So it's just, yeah, we're just ready to kind of shock everybody, because I know there's still a lot of people who think maybe we aren't that good and we can't compete at the national level. So just kind of that mindset of proving people wrong and just accomplishing what we set out to do.
Well, we're all excited to watch this Utah LSU game, and I know that this Angel Reese has gotten a lot of publicity. She's obviously putting up 20 plus points a game. She's extremely physical. She did an amazing job against Michigan to advance. It's a big time game. So when you see a player like this Angel Reese, do you take it personal? Do you tell coach, hey, I want this. I want this competition. I want to be able to show how good I am. How do you approach a matchup like this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, every game is just the opportunity to kind of prove ourselves as a team, and yeah, like you said, individually. So, you know, I think just a lot of people overlook us, and I just, yeah, playing teams like that who get a lot of publicity, it's definitely motivating to want to just go out there and show people we can compete with them, and that we're really good too. So, I'm excited. You know, the team's been talking about this matchup for a little while, so it's one that we've been wanting.
Do you do a lot of scoreboard watching? I mean, when Stanford gets ends up suffering a loss, do you guys like, ooh, well, you know, do you pay attention to other stuff, or do you try to keep focused on what you guys are doing?
Yeah, we pay attention to the other games that's going on as well, mostly just the games in our region, just because it's the teams that we'll be playing. But, as a conference, I think it's just good for us to kind of keep up with the other teams and see how other teams are doing. So, yeah, we're definitely paying attention to that. But also, yeah, keeping our focus on what we need to do.
How surprised were you that they ended up losing to Ole Miss?
Man, well, we played Ole Miss in the beginning of the season, so they're a really tough team, I think. And, you know, I knew it was going to be a good game, but to knock the number one seed off, that's is pretty crazy.
What did you think of Miami's win last night?
I didn't watch the game, but, yeah, I mean, that's why they call it March Madness. Anything could happen, so...
Well, you know, it's interesting, too, because, you know, Princeton came in and you guys were heavily favored and you end up winning the game. But Princeton, I mean, that team fought like crazy. They weren't going away. And I got to imagine in the back of your mind, you're playing that game like, why won't these guys just go away? Come on. You know, but I mean, but in a weird way, you're probably better for it to get tested like that going into the Sweet 16.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we knew they were going to come out swinging and you know, every team in this tournament is fighting for their life and just to keep on playing because, you know, it's once you lose, you're out. So I think every team is going to put up a fight. No game is going to be easy, and we knew that from the beginning. So we just come into every game focused and, you know, trying to match that energy and play hard as well.
So, Alyssa, I've caught some highlights throughout the year, but watched that entire Princeton game. As Scotty was just mentioning, the way they played you, extremely physical, dropping two and three on you, really trying to rake across your arms any chance they got. Has every team played you like that pretty much through the year?
Yes. I feel like that's a lot of teams' game plan is just to kind of try to play physical with me and probably try to get me frustrated, but most of the time, you know, I'm used to it, so most of the time it doesn't work. But, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what I've faced all year.
You grew up playing a little bit of football. There's always a lot of foot drills and a lot of things like that to keep you light on your feet. And that's the thing. Obviously, watching you play, the speed in which you play, with the power in which you play as well, does a little bit of that come from your football background? Did that help in transitioning into your basketball career?
Yeah, definitely. I think it did. Just kind of playing that sport at a young age and playing it for so long, just kind of those skills and just the strength I got from that, I think, helped me a lot to just be the athlete that I am today.
Do you still have a brother playing football at USC?
Yes, his pro day is actually today, so he's doing that right now.
That's a big day for him. Is he nervous about it?
I think he's more just excited for it because, you know, he's a competitor and he knows what he's capable of, so I think he was ready for it.
So growing up in Alaska, did you take some, like, chartered fishing trips? Did you go out and catch some halibut? You salmon fisher? You outdoors girl? Like, how much does that affect who you are?
Yeah, no, my family's we're outdoors all the time, and, yeah, Alaska's the perfect place for it. So we have an RV. We always go out camping, and we got a bunch of four-wheelers and side-by-sides to go out riding, and yeah, we go fishing in July. I haven't been fishing in a while though because, you know, I'm always at school now, so but yeah, we've never really gone on boats. We always do what's called dip net fishing. They mm-hmm. do at the river out there, so yeah, we're a big outdoor family. Love doing just being in outdoors and doing activities like that.
It wouldn't suck growing up on fresh salmon, Scotty.
No, not at all.
What's the biggest salmon you can remember netting out of there?
Shoot. Probably when I was a lot younger, we would go out to this river, and it was where they caught a lot of king salmon. So I'm pretty sure my dad and my uncles, they would always catch them, and they would be huge.
Yeah, any run-ins with bears while you were growing up?
not any, like, close encounters that I can remember, but we've seen some just, like, driving by the river or just, like, on our way out camping or something like that.
I'm jealous of you. I wish I could live in Alaska.
Well, I got to imagine, I mean, you and your brother and your dad and your siblings, I mean, you sounds like you grew up in a real competitive family. I got to imagine whether it's basketball in the backyard or football or even fishing, that the competitive juices are always flowing with that family, right?
Yeah, everything we did, it was always made a competition. So all my siblings, yeah, everybody's competitive. It's a competitive family.
Well, listen, it's been fun watching you, and we're just rooting for you. We're cheering for you. I thought the whole state is cheering for you. Go out there and get it done against LSU and keep on going.
Yep. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Sounds good. Alyssa Peely, big one against LSU. Utes and the Tigers of LSU, 2 seed versus a 3 seed for a chance to go to the Elite Eight.
For those of you that haven't watched Alyssa play basketball, she plays basketball the way I would play basketball if I could.
Just breaking.
Extremely physical.
Just dislocating fingers right and left, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Throwing shoulders down and getting to the rim regardless of who's in front of me and how many people are swinging across my shoulders and arms. Because you saw Princeton, they were physical.
Yeah.
They knew that if they couldn't take her out of the game, they didn't have a chance. So they did everything they could. Hey, but this, I know we aren't exactly women's basketball insiders here, but I was just talking about this LSU forward. Her name is Angel Reese. She averages 24 points and 16 rebounds a game.
Oh, 24-16?
Let me just say this again.
Wow.
She averages 24 points and 16 rebounds per game. LSU did not lose a single game at home. They were 17-0 at home this season. They're 30-2 on the season. They're a 3 seed coming to this matchup on Friday. But this is an exceptional LSU team. And if there is a female basketball player in this state that could compete with Alyssa Peely, it's going to be Angel Reese. And that is going to be a fun game. You know, and I know people out there think, well, it's women's basketball. Okay, so some of the offense is lean, and some of the shots are lean, and there are some misses. And sometimes officials do get way too involved. But when you're watching two exceptional athletes like Angel Reese and Alyssa Peely go back and forth in a Sweet 16 matchup with a 30-2 LSU team, you can't miss something like this.
LSU beat Hawaii by 23. Then they beat Michigan, the 6 seed, by 24.
Yeah.
They've just been dump trucking teams.
Yeah.
And you say they only have 2 losses?
Yes.
On the entire 3 seed. They must have had some bad, those must have been bad quad losses.
They had 2 losses. They had one to South Carolina, who was at one point ranked very high, and then they had one at Tennessee.
Pac-12 was loaded this year for women's basketball, so that might have certainly helped Utah's case there, too. You know, in fact, if Utah had won the Pac-12 tournament, they probably would have been a 1 seed.
To Lloyd's point, though, this LSU women's basketball team played through a gauntlet. You know, they played a couple of different ranked opponents through the year. They're non-conference schedule was not daunting, was not difficult. Maybe that hurt them.
Still pretty weird to think 2 losses and a 3 seed.
2 losses and a 3 seed.
Well, they're playing with all kinds of anger right now, it looks like. Well, taking out some frustrations on the Wolverines.
And as amazing as Alyssa Peely is, and maybe she is the best player in the country, I would say that most would say that this Angel Reese is the best player in the country.
So
24-16.
That's just crazy numbers.
Yeah. She's 6'3".
Woo.
Tall, athletic, physical. So this is going to be a pretty fun matchup. Excited about it.
Yeah, I would say find a way to make sure you're watching that game coming up. All right. Hans and Scotty, you doing well?
I'm doing awesome, man. A little confused about what we're about to talk about in the starter. A little confused. Enjoying every moment that I can.
Just let it go.
It feels like we're getting satisfaction now, but it's going to be taking away from satisfaction we could get later.
That's true. But you know what? Nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, some impressive things going on, but we've got a great show lined up for you. We'll have David Locke on to talk about this Utah Jazz team. We're going to jump into this here at the starter. Good, bad, and ugly is packed today. Big thanks to Alyssa Peely for joining us. She was just fantastic right there. I really just want people to get to know who she is. And I want people to watch her play because she's spectacular.
Well, and that's why I think it's important to talk about teams that are doing well. Like, look, UVU isn't in the NCAA tournament, but they're playing for a chance to go to the Final Four in the NIT. They're a really fun I mean, if you're just looking for fun, entertaining basketball, you're hard-pressed to find a better team than that right now. Alyssa Peely and the Utes on a potential historic run in the women's NCAA tournament. Like, yeah, these things should be celebrated. And they should be represented. We should talk about them, for sure. So, happy to bring her on. Happy to talk to her. Second time she's been on the station. Lynn Roberts has been on the station. Excited for everyone associated with that program that's obviously enjoying a heck of a ride. Be fun to call a win or two in the NCAA tournament. I don't know what that's like.
You'll get it. It's coming.
Just one. I just want one. All right, 1220. Let's get to it. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go.
The lineup is set, and it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Pick and roll. Skip pass over the top. Fontecchio rotates the top to Dunn. Unguarded. Zip code 3. Got it. Nobody in the zip code, and Chris Dunn made him pay. Olenek. Hand off to Fontecchio. Who's the Jazz scorer without their guys? Abaji straight down the barrel. 3. Yes, sir! Ojai! 116-115. Ojai builds on his career high. He's got 23. Kelly Olenek makes both free throws. He's been really amazing for the Jazz since the trade deadline. Did it again tonight, 19-10-8. And the Sacramento Kings, for the first time in 8 road games, have lost.
Oh, geez. Oh, man. The Jazz went out and did it again. They won.
All right, so
what are we doing?
I can see the conversations going on with Danny Ainge, Justin Zanuck, Will Hardy. And they're like, yeah, okay, so we've got Clarkson and Sexton. They're both out, and we just beat Boston? And Danny going, well, it looks like Markkanen's back is going to tighten up a little bit. So you sit Clarkson, Sexton, and Markkanen.
Yeah.
And you're going against well, they were 2/3 seed in the West Sacramento team, which has either the 6th or 7th best record in the NBA.
Correct.
Great outside shooting
great
team.
Great road record.
Yeah, physical team. And I'm thinking, there's no way in hell. You start Simone Fontecchio, Chris Dunn, Ochai Agbaji, Walker Kessler, and Kelly Olynyk. That was your starting five. Again, Simone Fontecchio, Chris Dunn, Ochai Agbaji, Walker Kessler, and Kelly Olynyk. And you go in and you grab a 49-19 lead in the second quarter.
Yeah, yeah.
It was 42-19 in the second quarter. You end up finishing with Simone Fontecchio, Ochai Agbaji, Chris Dunn, Walker Kessler, and Kelly Olynyk. That was your finishing five. So the only difference from your starting five, your finishing five, was you took Talen Horton-Tucker off the court. You rotate in Chris Dunn. And all Chris Dunn did was go in and make every shot that he was putting up.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks for that.
So he was he was very, very efficient. So this is the outcome of a 128-120 win over Sacramento. The Utah Jazz outscored Sacramento 128-120, out-rebounded Sacramento 48-43, out-assisted Sacramento 33-28, out-blocked Sacramento 8-3, out-shot from the field 52.3% to 42.3%, out-shot from three 44.4% to 36.5%, and out-shot from the free throw line 87% to 76%. all they did was dominate.
Yeah.
And Sacramento made a push.
They made a push, took a lead late. They got over the hump for a second.
For a second. And then the Utah Jazz figured they'd just close this thing out the friendly way. A gentleman's close is what they call it.
A gentleman's close.
Yes. Can you imagine?
You'll like the way you look. Could you guarantee it.
Picture yourself on the sideline. You're on that Sacramento bench, okay? You're on that Sacramento bench. You came into Vivint Arena and you're thinking, this ragtag group, oh, they're sitting there, all-star, marketing too. No Clarks, no Sexton, none of it. Oh, it's going to be a fun night. And then imagine sitting there and looking at the score, 42-19 at the end of the second quarter, and you're like, this is really embarrassing, guys. This is really embarrassing.
Kind of reminds me of, who was it that Carmelo was complaining about when they lost to the Jazz? Was it Fasenko? When he went on that rant and he goes, lost to Fasenko.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lost to that guy.
Fasenko.
How did that happen?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know, man. I don't know what to say anymore. Enjoy the ride. Look, this is obviously extremely detrimental to the Jazz and their long-term hopes of, you know,
glory
and getting a franchise player. The Jazz front office, and I even think the coaching staff, is doing everything they can to put lineups out there. But yeah, these kids are just too dumb enough, or just too dumb to know any better.
Yeah. Yeah. And then,
and by the way, I you know what I mean.
And then you got Rudy Gay out there who's, I don't know if he's thinking contract or extend a career, or if he's thinking, I'll show them, I'll get back at the Jazz by reducing their chance at a potential lottery pick. I don't know what his thought is, but I'm even watching him close out. I watched him close out on Sacramento and contest the three that I thought, well, my goodness, that's Rudy Gay out there defending. Okay, so I just went through the Sacramento numbers against Boston. The Jazz outscored Boston 118-117, out-rebounded Boston 56-40, including a lot of extra chance opportunities, out-blocked Boston, out-stole Boston, and out-shot Boston from the free throw line 77.3% to 68.8%. Oh, by the way, they're the number two team in the East.
Yeah.
So that's what they've done in back-to-back games, and they've got two more games at home. Their home schedule is solid. They've got another three or four game home stretch that is, what, one or two games from the finish of the regular season.
Hey, guess what? Play-in tournament, let's go.
Well, if it's,
let's just go. Let's just do it now.
If it started today, they would be in the play-in against Dallas?
Yeah, they're the 10 seed.
Would it be against Dallas?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Jazz and the 10 seed taking on.
How much fun it would be to knock out Dallas in a play-in tournament with Kyrie and Luka. See, now I want it. Now it's just like it's go time. It's too late now.
So
lottery balls don't matter anymore.
So if they had the chance to do that, because if you play in as a 10 seed, you've got to win two games to be able to land a spot. You have to win two. Not it's a one and done against Dallas, but you've got to win two games to find the spot. If they had a play-in against Dallas and they beat them.
Hell yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Well, and we'll go through the rankings because we remember how we talked about how there was only like five teams, or actually like four teams the Jazz couldn't catch in terms of lottery balls.
Yeah.
Now there's like nine. I mean, not nine, but it's doubled. And I'll go through that coming up next.
I'm going to hit the over, aren't I?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're in fine shape now.
Wow.
All right. Mark's hanging out with us from Wasatch Medical, 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone. And Mark, if somebody out there is struggling with ED, now's the time to get it taken care of. And it does not involve the little blue pill. Let's go. Let's get some people squared away here.
That's right. No blue pill. No timing issues. No side effects. This is a great opportunity, guys, at Wasatch Medical Clinic because we have a breakthrough treatment. It is called acoustic wave therapy. And the great thing about this, guys, is we are treating the root cause of ED in most cases. That is a lack of blood flow. So if we can get those blood vessels repaired, that blood flowing like it naturally should be, then that spontaneity will return to your relationship as well.
all starts at that free assessment. You have a good chance to have you have essentially a chance to meet with a physician and see exactly what the situation is, and you can evaluate from there. But that first process is free.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's what you guys want to do. We want to make sure that acoustic wave therapy is the right fit for you. Otherwise, it's a waste of time, right? So waste of your time, waste of everything. So give us a call at Wasatch Medical Clinic today. We will set you up with that initial exam, the assessment, that blood flow ultrasound with our doctor at no cost. In addition to that, you'll receive a gift, which can provide rapid results for those intimate moments. But guys, call today. Don't put this off any longer. ED does not repair itself. The phone number, 801-901-8000, 801-901-8000.
You heard the man, 801-901-8000, right here on The Zone.
Wherever you go, The Zone will be right there with you every step of the way. It's the all-new KSL Sports app.
I love it.
Where you can listen to The Zone wherever you may be.
Listen to me, this stuff is available everywhere.
It's your new home for streaming The Zone and getting all the latest news, insight, and analysis of the teams you can't live without. It's the all-new KSL Sports app. Available now wherever you shop for apps.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah,
we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, The Sports Zone.
All right, it is a Team 49 Tuesday, so let's give away some tickets, shall we? Your Jazz, your potential playoff Utah Jazz. Be calling number 12 right now. 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE. And you'll win a pair of tickets. See the Jazz take on Joe Ingles and the Milwaukee Bucks coming up Friday night at Vivint Arena. Again, probably seeing a 20-point victory against the Bucks. Because
why not?
Because why not? Hey, just real quickly, though, I teased this going to break. Just looking at the standings right now. So when we talked, what, about a week ago about the Jazz, there were only a handful of teams that you really felt like the Jazz were not going to be able to compete with for lottery balls.
Five to be specific.
So we had pretty much Orlando, Charlotte, Detroit, Houston, and San Antonio. Mm-hmm. You weren't going to be able to catch those five. But Portland, New Orleans, the Lakers, the Jazz, Oklahoma City, Indiana, Washington, Chicago, Toronto, Atlanta. Those teams are all just kind of clumped together. So you'd think if you went on a really just a crazy dive and just lost, what was it, 2-12, we were thinking.
Which, yeah, we saw on the horizon.
Yeah.
Because they were sitting everybody. They were sitting Clarkson, sitting Sexton. We knew that sitting Markkanen was a real possibility, which they did last night.
Yeah. That sixth spot, that seventh spot could be certainly in the realm of possibility. Well, now the Jazz, after last night, they notched their 35th win of the season. Now you can eliminate Portland. Portland's at 31, so add them to the list because you're not going to get in front of Portland.
Not catching them.
Now you can add Indiana to the list. They're at 32. You're not going to catch them. You can add Washington to the list. They're at 32. So there's three more teams that you're not going to fall below those teams. And now you've got the Lakers at 35, Oklahoma City at 35, Minnesota at 36, Dallas at 36, Golden State at 37, who the Jazz could catch, Chicago at 34, Toronto at 35, Atlanta at 35.
The best you can do right now is ninth.
Yeah.
The best you can do is the ninth worst record in the NBA. So, to your point, between ninth and 14th, to me, it's just a shoulder shrug and a hand toss. So,
exactly.
What would I do? I'd go to Jordan Clarkson. I'd go to Lowry Markkanen. I'd go to Colin Sexton. I'd say, how's the hamstring? How's the back? Jordan, how we feeling? I would talk to the team. I'd talk to Will Hardy, and I'd say, why not? Just roll with it. Let's go see what we can do. If you guys really want to hustle like this and you want to beat the number two seed in the East that's trying to continue to improve their record, you're trying to, and you go beat Sacramento. Sacramento's trying to take over the two spot so that they could potentially avoid like a Golden State in the first round. That's who they're trying to stay away from. Because really, it'd either be Golden State or the Clippers for them. So they're trying to win every game humanly possible to stay away from some of those daunting tests in the first round. So if you guys want to go do that, well, let's just go see. Let's go see what a little bit of good coaching and good hustle can do.
It's not going to happen, but mathematically, it's not out of the realm of possibility. The Jazz could be a four seed in the playoffs. Phoenix only has a three-game lead on for the four seed.
Yeah. that's not out of the realm of possibility. The Jazz do have the toughest remaining schedule, but they're making minced meat of it.
Yeah.
Going 2-0 through the remainder of it. As they get back from that six-game road trip, it was extremely daunting.
Yeah. I mean, Jazz have 11 games left in the season. They're at 71 games. They've got 11 left. The chances of making up three games on Phoenix in 11 games is not great, but look, that's the only thing keeping the Jazz from the four seed at this point. It's just silly. It just really is. I mean, it's unreal. To see something like this with everything that Danny Ainge has done, that the lineups have helped produce, and yet they're still winning games and winning four out of their last five. Because let's be honest, Jazz lost four in a row going back to, end of February into the first part of March. Like, okay, here we go. And then how do they respond? Oh yeah, let's just knock off four out of five. The only loss to Miami. Now they've got Portland coming up,
which was a game we identified as one they should or could win.
Yeah. Got Milwaukee. Got Sacramento coming up again. Phoenix. Oh geez, you make up some ground with Phoenix. You got another game against Phoenix. Like you look at the schedule, there's no way. But still,
well, they've got two wins inside that 11 game schedule that they've got remaining. I think that they beat Portland. I think they beat San Antonio. But the problem is, could they beat Boston again? Because they play them again. Could they beat Sacramento again? Because they play them again. What are the Lakers going to be doing between April 4th and April 9th? Because they got the Lakers twice. What are they trying to do?
Yeah.
Where is the Lakers' intent? Now, to me, it would be all about trying to get into the postseason, get LeBron healthy, because they don't even have a draft pick. So they're not working for a tank or a draft pick. But if the season were to end today, they don't even have a play-in spot because the Jazz occupy it.
Yep.
They couldn't even play in. LeBron could be back and healthy with Anthony Davis, and they're looking at each other like, so what should we do now? Oh, well, now you just go on vacation.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Because that's where they're at right now. And the Jazz have them again twice to finish the season. Maybe the Lakers do put on their tank cap. The Lakers sit right now as the 12th worst record or so, right in there, 11th or 12th worst record. They might just pull the plug. I don't know. Maybe not. Because it doesn't really advance their position.
It doesn't advance it, but if LeBron doesn't want to play anymore, and he's like, I'm not healthy, then there's really nothing they can do about it.
And then the Jazz have two more wins on their hands to finish out this season. So that's the point I'm trying to make, just identifying the teams and where they're at. Hell, you just took on two teams that wanted the wins the most in the NBA. Boston needs and wants those wins. Boston's trying to hold on to that two seed. Philly is right on their heels by a half game. Boston's trying to make sure that they've got maybe an Atlanta or a Miami Heat and not having to see Brooklyn potentially in the first round.
Yeah.
So, and obviously Brooklyn is a much different story, but they're trying to win. And they can't against the Jazz for one reason or the other. The Jazz are 4-1 in the last five games. the Jazz finished off that road trip, that six-game road trip. They finished it off 2-1. Then they come home and they get two consecutive wins.
Yeah.
They go 4-1 in the last five games. I don't know. It's impressive. I guess I'll just say it's impressive. And you know what stands out to me the most? It goes back to the conversation that you always have about Jerry Sloan and his coach of the year run that maybe should have been.
Most definitely should have been.
This is that for Will Hardy.
Yeah.
When we look back on this and you say, so Will Hardy took Simone Fontecchio, Chris Dunn, Ochai Agbaji, Walker Kessler, and Kelly Olynyk and finished them out in a game and beat a Sacramento Kings team? So he was starting Simone Fontecchio, Talen Horton-Tucker, Ochai Agbaji, Walker Kessler, and Kelly Olynyk, and he's reeling off wins? How? It's great ball movement, but sometimes the ball gets stagnant, and it's just Talen Horton-Tucker taking somebody to the rim. Or it's Ochai with some incredible passing. He really does have some incredible passing. And Kelly Olynyk continues to be a problem. He had a big three late in that game against Sacramento. Huge three.
Kelly freaking Olynyk.
Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm thrilled about the future of this team. I'm just a little bit bummed with how things are going to go because this is not a playoff team. It's not a team that it's going to put together a playoff run.
Yeah.
It might be a team that lands a play-in, but they're kind of ending where nobody really wanted them to end. But they're ending the way we would all love to see them end.
Is there any way this team could be like that team? Remember that Golden State Warriors team that knocked off the Mavericks?
Mavericks in the first round, yeah. Lost to the Jazz in the
second
round.
And weren't they like, they were a late seed?
They were an 8. Yeah, it was an 8-1. Yeah. 8-1 upset.
Could the Jazz be that? Is there any way they could be that?
Hey, look, I'm not betting against these guys anymore. I mean, not that I have actually bet against this team. I'm just saying.
Not that you would know where to go to do anything like that.
I have no idea. 12:46, which you may have missed coming up next. Hands and Scotty. David Locke will join us coming up at 1:05. It's all straight ahead, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
He's a former Cougar, a former Indianapolis Colt, an all-around good guy, Hans Olsen.
Right now, I am more buying Slovis than I am selling Slovis, but I am slowly coming along. It feels like a good fit. I do know that he's loving Provo, and I know that he feels like he's a really good fit with this offense, and he likes what he's currently playing in. We've just seen his college career kind of slowly decline since his freshman year at USC. He makes a lot of mistakes, and inside Aaron Roderick's offense, there's a lot of mistakes to be made, so I believe in him, and I'm buying him more than I'm selling him right now. I've got high hopes for him, and I know this, Jake. Keaton Slovis can't carry the bill. This BYU team is going to have a pretty tough season.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Miss any part of the show? Every moment of every show is available in podcast form by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Gerard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Time for another edition of What You May Have Missed right here on the Zone.
John Canzano put out a piece today that I thought was really intriguing. For those of you that haven't seen it, you might want to go give it a read. Representative Janelle Bynum is proposing a bill that, Scotty, would put the fault directly on the head coach and the athletic director of any fan misbehavior. Now, it's a certain type of misbehavior, but it would put all the fault of what happened at that Oregon BYU game with the Oregon fans that were saying F the Mormons.
Yeah.
It would put that fault on Dan Lanning, and he would serve an actual suspension for what the fans are doing.
What are we doing?
Well, this is shocking to me. This woman who is proposing this bill, her son is a walk-on on this team. Man. Her son, Ellis, happens to be a walk-on running back at Oregon.
His life just got a little harder. He better go hit the old portal. Yeah. Dan Lanning might be ordering a code red before it's all said and done.
This is just incredible. I know that what happened at that Oregon-BYU game, it was terrible. I think that we have gotten over our skis a little bit in how we react to fan behavior.
Yeah.
Because we're all so fearful of anything that goes against religion, race, or gender orientation. Anything that goes against it, we're all just hypersensitive about it. It's like, no, melt it down. Everybody's done. It's like, wait a second. They're 19, 20, 21. Some of those guys look like they're in the mid-30s.
Yeah.
Those guys need to be checked. But they're saying things they don't even realize they're saying. They yeah. don't understand how hurtful it is. They don't understand that it's completely unacceptable. But now you're going to say, all right. Thought it was funny, huh? Well, now your coach is serving a suspension and your athletic director. That's a check mark. One more and he's out.
Like, how cool if there's one guy who over, you know, fan behavior had a right to be really ticked off. It's a Max Scholga kid at Utah State. Goes to Colorado State. His parents are living in Kyiv. The place is getting bombed on a daily basis. He hasn't seen his family in forever. And he has a members, you know, not a lot, but, you know, a few members of that student section chanting Russia, Russia at him.
What'd you think, about 16, 20, you said?
I mean, it was enough that we could hear it, you know. So it wasn't the entire student section, but it was a good number of them. And what does Max do? He releases a statement, says, look, hey, you know what? The university apologized. I know we're all just kids. We do dumb things. I accept the apology. Let's go move on and let's just play basketball. Let's be done with it. Like, the one guy that could be really, that could really hold a grudge was like, eh, look, you know what? It's the heat of competition. We all say dumb things. We all say stupid things. I know that deep down, you know, people are better than that. Let's just move on and let's go.
There are so many things that I wish I could go back and change. Things that I've said in my life that I wish I could go back and change. Even coming into this job and starting into this job,
oh, yeah.
as immature as I was. Doing and saying stupid things on air on a public forum that I wish I could take back. And luckily, back then, people gave a little bit of leeway and you'd live and you'd learn. I'd get an email or something. Somebody would be like, hey, just so you understand, that's stupid. Don't do it. Oh, okay. Understand why it's stupid. Okay, it hurts a group. But when I was young, Scotty, I said things that were just dumb. I couldn't imagine having Lavelle Edwards held responsible for something that the student section was chanting.
Yes.
But that's the bill that's being proposed here. They want to hold the head coach and the athletic director responsible. If this bill is set in place, I'm going to gather up 30 or 40 fans and send them to that Oregon game where they can be heard and chant horrible things so that head coach gets suspended before
they got a big game against Utah next
Oregon,
week.
Utah,
Kyle yeah. Whittingham buses a bunch of kids up there, says a bunch of horrible things,
dresses them in green,
yeah,
green and yellow, puts them where the media can hear them, and they start chanting some terrible stuff.
How dare they?
And Dan Lanning gets suspended because of it. Can we just let's just continue to put the onus on the people that are responsible for their language and their actions.
Yeah.
And let them grow through it. Just like Max Scholga has decided to do. Let them grow through it. You know, I've had to continue to grow. You've continued to grow.
Oh, yeah.
We've had to grow in our lives. And in order to grow, you have to be able to look at it and say, oh, okay, that was unacceptable. That was stupid. And if you don't have somebody doing that, you don't grow. Wait, you're saying I could go to a game, I could chant whatever I wanted, and
how much?
And Dan Lanning gets a spin.
I mean, how
that
much
just
does
gives
that,
me more leeway to go chant?
What does that stadium fit, like
60,000, 70,000?
About 55,000.
55,000. So you're going to say Dan Lanning is personally responsible for each and every one of those, the words coming out of the mouth of those 55,000 people.
That's what they. That's what this bill is asking.
Come on. That's stupid. That's really stupid.
It's Bill HB 2472. House Bill 2472.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a bad deal right there. All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Mark's hanging out with us from Wasatch Medical. And Mark, I tell you what, there's a lot of people out there that have wanted to call, but just maybe haven't had the guts or feels like it'll get better on its own. But if you're struggling with ED, Mark, it doesn't get better on its own. It's time to get it addressed.
Yeah, it doesn't get better on its own. You're absolutely right. And there are a lot of guys, I guarantee it, that are out there. They've heard us talk about this time and time again. And they think about it, but don't pull the trigger. And I'll tell you what, guys, you're just putting things off. Nothing is going to get better on its own as far as the ED is concerned. Most guys, it's a lack of blood flow. And at Wasatch Medical Clinic, our breakthrough treatment, it is called acoustic wave therapy, actually treats the root cause of ED. Unlike the pills just give you a temporary increase in blood flow. And, of course, the pills come with timing issues, and they can come with side effects as well. Our acoustic wave therapy, none of that. So there is no pain, there is no downtime, and there are no side effects involved with the acoustic wave therapy.
And it starts with that free assessment, and you get a chance to meet with a physician and see exactly what the situation is.
Yeah, absolutely. And guys, it really starts with you just deciding you want to do something about this. And keep in mind, guys, this impacts you, absolutely. But it can also impact your significant other as well, especially if you're one of those guys who is avoiding those intimate situations. So do something about it. Get a little bit of better quality of life back. Give us a call at Wasatch Medical Clinic today. We will set you up with the exam, the assessment, the blood flow ultrasound with our doctor at no cost. In addition to that, you will receive a gift, which can provide rapid results for those intimate moments. But it does start with a call. Give us a call today, guys. The number is 801-901-8000. Again, 801-901-8000.
801-901-8000. David Locke's going to join us next right here on The Zone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.